way and follow the group. And if you got your Bibles today, find the book of Titus. We're going to start in the book of Titus today, Titus chapter 2. Today, and being Mother's Day, been praying about what God, what you'd have me to speak on, and I selected a topic that we're going to take right from the Scripture, and I titled the message today, What Does the Bible Say About Christian Mothers? What does the Bible say about Christian mothers? And the Bible's very specific about what it says about motherhood and about mothers, and I thought, you know, it'd be good just to take the Bible, and because the influence in our lives has been probably a lot by our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts, those around us. And so today on this Mother's Day, I just want to say a special thank you to my wife and the mother of our three children. And we have two boys and a daughter. And congratulations to my daughter who has three children. And you know, it's pretty cool to be able to watch your children parent their children, our grandchildren. That's always a kind of a new chapter in your life and something to be able to watch and fun to do. And along the way. But I often think about, you know, as I was preparing this message, I thought about, where do you go to sign up and learn how to be a mother? They teach you that in junior high? They teach you that in high school? Did you major in that in college when you went to college? Where do you go to learn to be a mother? You know, I don't know about you, but talking about, like Brother Ron, I mentioned a moment ago, we don't choose the families we're born into, and that's true for all of us, and we know, and I sat here this morning, I couldn't help but think back, you know, when my wife and I started dating and decided we're going to get married, got engaged and got married, we obviously started talking about, well, how many children do you want? And I said, well, I'm okay with a dozen. She said, well, I don't want any. And I said, well, we got to meet somewhere in the middle. So we ended up with three. And God bless and gave us three children. Thank the Lord for each and every one of them. But I think about the mothers that, in my life, my own mother, she was one of five girls in a family of nine children on a farm growing up. So when I think about the influence of the women in my life have had a major influence in my life. Again, it really is true. As Ron and I have both said, we don't choose the families we're born into, but the impact that mothers have had in our lives. My own mother. You know, she just didn't send us to church. She took us to church. She made us work hard every Saturday. You had to get our schoolwork done. We had to, every Saturday was, I always would rather be out fishing or playing in the creek or doing something outside or whatever. And she said, when the work's done, then you can go play. Not till the work's done. So she taught us how to work. She taught us a lot of things along the journey of life and along through there. And I think about my grandmother, Helen was her name, and she was an only child growing up. My grandmother was on my mom's side of the family, and she had nine children. And I think about my father's side of the family. My grandmother on that side of the family had eight children, six boys and two girls. Out of that family, my aunt Naomi, she's still alive. Naomi, she still lives down at Hayesville, Ohio. And she communicates with me through Messenger. I thought, man, as old as she is, and that she stays up on the technology pretty good. And so I get these, all of a sudden my phone will go off and it's Aunt Naomi on Messenger. Checking in, hey, what are you doing today? What's going on today? And so her and I stay in regular communication. 2 weeks ago, my phone rang. I looked at it. It was my Aunt Marge. I pulled it up, and she goes, hey, Rick, I haven't talked to you in about 3 months. It was just time to check in. I said, Aunt Marge, and all these women have all had an influence in my life. I said, how old are you now? She said, 97. I'll be 98 this summer. I said, you're doing pretty good. Women that had an influence in your life. My mom's side of the family, my aunt Imogene, always wanted children, never could have children. She lived on a dairy farm all of her life. So her and my uncle decided to adopt a boy. Lo and behold, they only had him after about a year and found out that Ronnie had had a lot of medical issues. And she worked hard on a dairy farm and farmed a large farm and milked 75 milk cows every day. She could far out-milk all the guys that grew up in the family. my Aunt Imogene, my Aunt June, that had an impact on my life, my mother, my Aunt Char, my Aunt Jo, all these women that had such an impact in my life as a child growing up and influenced me along the way, and my grandmother. You know, it's interesting. I remember my grandmother one time, every Sunday we always gathered at the family farm, her place at the farmstead there, and we gathered all 9 children, all their spouses, all their children. Must have been 40, 50 of us in the farmhouse on every given Sunday afternoon. And it was each family's responsibility to take care of your own children. Keep them in line, discipline them, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But my grandmother Helen, if you didn't do it, she gave you about an extra 10 seconds to get them in line. And I'd see little Helen scooting off her chair to go over there, snatch up a grandchild and get him in line. And she did not hesitate to do whatever needed to be done. So I think of the influence of godly women along the way. I've saw most all of those, to my knowledge, are saved and know the Lord. And my mother was saved, know the Lord. My grandmother on both sides of the family, saved and know the Lord. And I rejoice to know that in heaven one day I'll be able to see them. And so when you look here in Titus chapter 2, what does the Bible say? And I wanted to share with you today some things from the scripture. Because what do we learn? Where is motherhood? Where do you learn about all that? You learn it from probably your grandmother, from your mother, from aunts or family in the family, or it gets passed down for whatever reason, and you take the good with the bad along the way. You figure out what you like. Sometimes you may figure out what you don't like. But here it's interesting that Paul, addressing in chapter 2 in Titus 2, notice how Paul addresses. He's really addressing here the pastoral work of a minister, but notice how he takes this in these verses. He says in Titus 2 in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine," sound teaching, "that the aged men," the older men, "be sober, be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience." And then in verse 3, "the aged women," the older women, "likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers," not given much wine, "teachers of good things." And verse 4, "that," the aged women in verse 3, "that," in verse 4, "that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children." Verse 5, "to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." I thought it was interesting here that he takes three verses, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, dealing with the older women in the church, teaching the younger women in the church some important principles and things that they need to heed to. And then he goes on to address the young men in verse 6. "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity and sound in speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And then exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again." So I want to draw our focus back to that verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and that the important things that mothers teach, should be teaching along the way. And that teaching holiness, teaching not to be false accusers, being teachers of good things, being able to teach the young to what? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So on this Mother's Day, when you think about Mother's Day is really a celebration honoring the mother of the family, as well as motherhood or maternal bonds, or the influence of mothers in our society, and how important that is just absolutely tremendous. Mothers have often shaped our world from the cradle by the rocking and the nurturing and the instructing of children to grow up to make life-changing and history-making accomplishments through the journey of life. Being a mother is a very important role that the Lord chooses to give to many women. And we know that a Christian mother is told to love her children here in Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5, and in part so that she does not bring a reproach upon the Lord and the Savior whose name she bears. They ought to always be able to hear it. And by the way, you need to let your children know, and you need to tell them not once, not twice, not three times, but every day and all the time and every time you see them, I love you. I love you. Our children today are 48, 46, and 44. And I never hang up a conversation, whether in person or on the phone, unless I say to them, hey, buddy, I love you. Hey, Chantel, I love you. And I let them know that. And my wife does the same thing. And a child should never grow up and not know that, you know, that mom and dad, or mom especially, loves them and cares for them and looking out for their best, and they are loved. You know, it's a sad thing, but I will tell you this as a pastor, that I have sat in counseling sessions with people that are trying to adjust from certain things in their childhood. And one of the things is when I had a lady one time tell me that their mother never told me that they loved them. It's a sad thing to grow up through your life and not tell them that you love them. I remember watching my dad's brother, one of his younger brothers, my Uncle Doyle, that when my grandfather died, my Uncle Doyle collapsed on his father's casket. And I watched him lay there prostrate on that casket. I was just a young man at the time, maybe 10, 11 years old. And he was weeping and crying, and he was saying, as his father laid there in that casket, I never told my dad that I loved him. That left an indelible impression on my mind as a 10, 11-year-old kid. I'm thinking, how can you go through life and not tell your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother? And I realize sometimes life gets complicated and personal issues come up and challenges come along the way. But whatever it is, bury the hatchet and get over it and try to move on and let them know that, hey, no matter what has happened, no matter what has been said, I still love you and I still care about you. And so when you think about this here, Christian mother, so that they're not a reproach unto the Lord, children, let me show you this first. Go back to Psalm 127 on this Mother's Day. I think it's important that you look at what the Bible says in regards to some of these things in relation to motherhood and children. And that is Psalm 127, verse 3. The Bible says that, lo, Psalm 127, 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate. One verse you need to keep in mind in Psalm 127:3 is that children are a heritage from the Lord. The children that you have, God gave those children to you. And you ought to feel blessed and fortunate to be able to have them. So in Titus 2:4, I find it interesting when I was reading and looking at the Greek text here of this, the Greek word philotekos, here in this, appears to have the reference of mothers loving their children. It really represents that word is a mother's kind of love. I love all of our children, our two boys, our daughter, our family. We have eight grandchildren. Love each one of them dearly. But I will tell you this. There is a bond. There is a closeness. There is a love that is deeper seated and deeper rooted between a mother and a child than anything else. It's an amazing thing to watch and see how God has placed that in a mother's heart and in that child, and to be able to love that child. Did the father love him? Yeah, absolutely. I love my children as much as my wife does. There's something unique about that bond, that love, and that relationship that they have, and that between the two. The idea that flows out of this word here is that a caring for our children and nurturing them and affectionately embracing them and meeting their needs and tenderly befriending each one as a unique gift from the hand of God. That's literally what it is. From the hand of God, He hands you these children, and each one is special in their own unique way. So I identified here in the Bible, I want to give them to you this morning, real simple, I think, things that we can look at here in the Scripture. I want to take you to the first one found in Deuteronomy. Several things that are commanded in the Bible of Christian mothers. And this is not my theory, my thought. This is what God has written in Scripture and put in the Bible. There are some things in the Bible that are commanded of Christian mothers. And we want to take a look at those today and see what the Bible has to say. Number one, when you look at it here in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning in verse 6 and verse 7, it's really instructions here. It says, "And these words," in verse 6, "these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And then he says to mothers and fathers here, he says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, I don't know about you, but when I looked at that, I'm thinking of parenthood. I'm thinking of mothers and children, and I'm thinking here that when you talk with them, when you're sitting in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you rise up, and here's my point number one today, and that simply is availability. Availability, that when you decide you're going to have a child, you need to make sure today, the most important thing that you can do is make yourself available to that child at whatever they need in their life. And there are going to be times they're going to want to talk to you. There are going to be times that they don't. I remember numerous times, and even today, our children will call today at age 48, 46, and 44, and I'll tell my wife, I'll say, "Was that Chantel on the phone?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Man, she called like 2 hours ago." And, they said, "Now, how can you talk on the phone for 2 hours? And I said, "Well, what did you talk about?" "Oh, this, that, one thing or another, whatever." So, and the boys and I will get on the phone and talk, and Chantel will talk. And it's always interesting that in motherhood, I remember one time when we lived, not the house we're at now, but another house, and we were sitting and talking with one of the kids, and I went to bed because I had to go to work the next morning. I come out early the next morning at like 5 o'clock, and my wife is still sitting at the dining room table with that child, sitting there talking. I said, "You guys been up all night?" They said, "We have. We've been up all night." They sit there all night. How can you sit up all night talking about making yourself available to whatever they need and whatever they're going through? The Bible puts it this way, in times you got to figure out when they want to talk, when they don't, when they'll open up and talk to you, when they don't. It just says here that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. My point simply being, point number one today, is be available. We live in a world today where it is go, 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 and it seems like that, both husband and wife got to go to work to make a living to provide for the family. But you still have the parental responsibility of making yourself available, and the task that is thrown today upon the family and upon home doesn't negate or take away our responsibility as a parent, that you got to be available, you got to be willing to talk to them, you got to be connected, you got to stay tuned in and what's going on in their heart and in their life. So availability, number one. Let's look in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians first. Ephesians 6. And found in Ephesians 6, Paul gave us this verse in verse 4. Ephesians 6 in the New Testament. And it really is talking about here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." That's a commandment given in the Old Testament commandments. "And that what? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." And then it says in verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And so I would say to you, point number two is just simply involvement. You got to stay involved in whatever it is. Not only is availability, but you got to stay connected. You got to stay involved. And that simply is by interacting or by discussing or by thinking or processing life together and helping them through that journey. And so they can learn from what you're going through. And children, obey your parents. I heard Ron say it a moment ago. Oh, that he could come back. His mother could come back so he could have one more conversation with her here. Whatever conversation you're going to have it here. Have it now. And don't have any regrets later on. Take the time to chat with and talk with and interact with now while you have them, because the day may come you won't have them here. So involvement and that availability. Number one, make yourself available. Number two is involvement. And then go to Psalm chapter 78 here in the Scripture. And that is, it comes down to, I think, one of the most important things is teaching. Psalm 78 and teaching. There's a lot of places we could take in the scripture on this, in Deuteronomy and back to the book of Ephesians, but here in Psalm 78, verse 5 and verse 6, Psalm 78, verse 5 says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, and should arise and declare them to their children." So teaching becomes an all-important thing. I think the most important, I don't know, it's just my kind of analysis of it. I think the most important thing we can do in our marriage for our spouses is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and to walk with the Lord. I think the most important thing you can do for your children, for your children that you have, is for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to walk with him, and so your children can watch you and see what you do, how you act, how you handle your life, so they can see you walking with the Lord. And it should be then hopefully put a desire in their heart that likewise they will do the same. So you find here in this verse teaching. You know, when you think about teaching what? Teaching, there's a lot of things that it should be mom and dad. By the way, if you're not aware of it, you should be aware of it. There's really a battle going on for the family today, and the battle for your children today, and the battle in education today, and this thing going on this gender issues today in society. And mom and dad should be the teachers of a lot of principles and things they should learn from you at home. I learned a lot of things from my mother or father from home along the way. What to do, what not to do, what to watch out for. I remember one time my mother bowled in a bowling league on a night, and I used to tag along with her once in a while. And I'm sitting there at a bowling league, drinking pop, eating a bag of chips or whatever, and she comes over and pulls a chair over, and she goes, and I'm probably 11, 12 years old. She goes, "Hey, Rick," she goes, see that lady over there?" I said, "Yep." She goes, "That's what we would call in our society a lesbian." I said, "What?" And she said, "A lesbian." She goes, and my mother and I sat there and had a conversation about what a lesbian is, and so what homosexuality is, and what life is about, and what real life is really about, and some of the core issues. And you look at it today, say, today we need to teach things of the Bible and the Scripture, and if you don't get a biblical, and it needs to be a biblical worldview and what it is, there's a lot of things will misguide children out there. I saw a clip the other day, it was really kind of cute, and it showed a little girl with her mom, and the little girl said to her mom, said, I think I want to be a boy. And her mom never picked her head up, so all she said is, "Don't worry about it, you'll get over it, forget it." It's kind of like brush it off, like, you know, be real and, you know, deal with the facts. You know, we live in a world today, I got to look and I just jotted a couple things down. By definition, things that we deal with in our generation is pretty tough out there today. This transgender issue. A transgender is denoting or relating to a person whose gender identity does not correspond with the sex registered for them at birth. It's a problem in our society and becoming more so as we go along this journey. And your children need to be taught what's right and what's wrong and biblical principles and biblical values at home from mom and dad, the truth of what's going on in the world that we live in. This thing about woke, that's going on. It's an adjective derived from an African-American vernacular English, AAVE, meaning alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. Let me just say, God is not a respecter of person. God loves all people of all walks of life, of every nationality, of every background, of every color, and our desire should be to reach all people of all walks of life with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be saved. You look at another thing in our world today, this thing on critical race theory that's going on out there. It's really is an intellectual approach to looking at the United States society with a belief that racism is at the core of its laws and institutions. Tell you what, I've had great friends down through the years from Ethiopia, of different backgrounds and nationalities, different colors. Made no difference to me. My best friend in junior high school, Jimmy Willis was a young black man that he and I played together, did everything together, and I just looked at him as like a brother that I never had. In this world that we live in today, our children need to be taught what is right and wrong. Children today are under more pressure than ever before, and they're bombarded with images and messages from the media and social media and their peers that can lead to feelings of inadequacy or anxiety or even depression. And children's brains are wired, and they're more likely to believe what they see than what they hear from adults. We need to be talking to our children and our children and our grandchildren every opportunity we get to be able to sort through those, to be able to help them to understand truth and what truth is and what right is and what wrong is. They need to hear it from moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas. Let me give you point number four this morning. Go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, and that is training. Proverbs 22. And when you think about training and you look at it in Proverbs 22 and you get down to verse 6, the Bible simply says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The responsibility that falls upon us as parents, and especially upon mothers and fathers, is that we need to train up a child in the way it should go, helping a child to develop skills and to be the best that they can be and discover their individual strengths and their individual abilities to be all that they can be that God created them to be. Shouldn't be any competition one against the other. I don't know about you. Now, we only had three children. Some of you maybe had more children. But one thing I did notice, as each child come along, each one was unique in their own way, and each one was different in their own way, and each personality along the way, and they're not all identical the same. You got to love them for where they're at and help them to be the best that they can be with the talents, abilities that God has given to them, and to be all that they can be, that they're not in competition with a brother or a sister or whatever, all the many times that happens, but training. Train up a child in the way he should go. Help them to develop the skills and things necessary along the way in their journey, and help them to find the strengths that they're good at. Then, if you will, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, number 5, I think is discipline. And Hebrews, and you get over to chapter 12, verse 5, teaching the fear of the Lord and drawing the line consistently, lovingly, and firmly along the way. You know, it seems like in every household, maybe one parent is the disciplinarian more so than the other one. Both can be the disciplinarian, but I remember my mom, she had a rule in our house, the work got done first. You get the work done, then you can go play. And so on a Saturday morning, when I was a kid, oftentimes, she would shut the TV, she would grab me and wail on me or whip me or whatever I had to do to say, remember what I said, the work gets done first. We do this first. So when you think about discipline, and it's interesting to look, you know, the discipline, along the way, and each child's a little different as they come along. And Hebrews 12, and you get down to verse 5, said, and have you forgotten the exhortation was speaking unto you as unto children, my son? Despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers in his holiness. And now no chastening, notice this now, no chastening, no discipline, no correction, for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised whereby. And wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So when you think about here, discipline, you know, I there's nothing that frustrates me to more end to go out and I'll see a child, I'll just take an advantage of a mom and dad or a mom and dad not disciplining a child or doing something. I think to myself, I'd love to have that child for 5 minutes. But I know that's not going to happen. Because I guarantee you, in our world that we grow up in, and I understand today it's a different world we live in, but at the same time, I know the Bible gives us things on chastisement. In our world that we grew up in, we did not have time outs in our world. We had a willow tree with a willow switch standing in the dining room, and it was like, get your act together, and or you'll pay the price. I remember coming home, and my sister was 16 years old. I drove in the driveway, come in the dining room, and I knew there was a family meeting going on between my mother, my father, and my sister at age 16. And when I heard my dad say, Sandy, down to the basement. I looked at my mom, and I said, I'm out of here. I got my Mustang, and I drove off. And I thought, because smoke's getting ready to rise from Fleming Falls Road in Mansfield, Ohio, and I didn't want to be anywhere around that. My sister got her last whipping at 16. I was so proud of that, because I got mine much younger. And she needed it. She really did. She may be listening to this. She's down in Albany, Kentucky. I don't know. But believe me, my father and mother, they were disciplinarians along the way in a spirit of love and discipline. And let me show you this. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy over just a few pages. And that is point number 6 is nurturing. On this Mother's Day, when you think about Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And there, so he talks about nurturing. Titus talks about nurturing in Titus chapter 2. Titus talks about providing an environment of verbal support or to allow somebody the freedom to make their mistakes and to learn from those mistakes, acceptance, and then give them the affection they need to be able to help them to navigate and to get on through that. And I think, if you will, then the last point, and the point number 7 today, and I'll close with this, is just something as far as modeling with integrity. Be an example along the way, and that you can model what the principles are in front of the child that you want to have an influence over. You know, the Bible never states that, if you think about it, the Bible never states that every woman will be a mother. However, it does say that those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take the responsibility seriously. And so when you think about, mothers have a unique and a crucial role in the lives of their children. Motherhood is not a chore. So I'm speaking as a father, so obviously I can't speak as a mother and know that. But I've been around a lot and seen a lot along the way that motherhood is really not a chore. It's an unpleasant task maybe at times, but it's a blessing. Just as a mother bears a child during pregnancy, and just as a mother feeds and cares for her children during infancy, so mothers also play an ongoing role in the lives of children, whether they're adolescents, teenagers, young adults, or even adults out on their own. It never stops. When do you stop being a parent? It never ends. Never ends along the way. And while the role of motherhood must change, maybe develop, the love, the care, the nurturing, the encouragement that a mother gives should never cease. So on this Mother's Day, the most important thing that we can do is to be the best that we can be. And on this day, as we recognize our mothers, I think the most important thing is to realize, if you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the center of everything else that we do. You start with that, and then from there, begin to broaden out from that. So let me ask you today, mothers, do you know the Lord? Are you saved today? Do you take in light of what the Scripture says to be able to teach, to be the best wife you can be, to be the best mother you can be, to have the influence on your children that you can have according to the Word of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for the Word of God today. God, I thank you for every mother sitting here today in the sanctuary. God, I thank you for their salvation. I thank you for their influence in their home, with their spouse, with the children that you've blessed them with the influence that you have given to them to be able to impact their family. So God, I pray today that you'll help every mother to be the very best that they can be. Have your hand upon these homes, upon these families. And God, today it's our desire to pray for. Maybe there's one here that's not yet saved. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And God, that most of all, they'd open up their heart and be saved and trust you. And then, God, be that godly influence that can impact their children and their family, and be that anchor in their family that you've called them to be. And God will be sure to give you the praise today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you came in the service today, maybe you're a mother, or maybe